I heard on the news this week about an outdoor wedding that was held last summer. It was in a garden, and there was a beautiful arbor with flowers, and it was just a lovely setting, and everyone was all dressed up, the people and the wedding party, and it was just a lovely occasion. The bride and groom had hired a photographer to capture the event, and also a videographer. And they went one step further. They hired someone to run a drone overhead to take pictures of the bird's eye view. And it was really irritating. The drone had this high-pitched whine, and everybody kept looking up there and making faces, and all the guests were unhappy. Partway through the ceremony, the motor stopped, and the drone fell to the ground and crashed. Everyone stood up and applauded. I guess that's what they'll remember about that wedding. Well, a wedding is both a very public affair and also a very private affair. It's public in the sense that everyone is there and you're photographing it and maybe videoing it from above. But it's also a very private affair. I've been at weddings where, I've officiated at weddings where the bride and the groom have written their own vows and they've said them to each other in front of the whole congregation. And it's so intimate. I mean, they're speaking things that they have thought about for days, weeks, composing these vows. And it's spoken from the depth of their heart amid all these other people. So it's a very intimate moment in a very public setting. Well, I think that's sort of like the gospel story today. Mary anoints Jesus' feet in a very intimate moment inside a setting where there's a lot of people around. It's a very intimate moment in a very public setting. In the story, Jesus comes to his friend's house. His friends are Mary and Martha and Lazarus, people he knows well. And he comes 6 days before the Passover. This is the Passover when Jesus is going to die. And he comes 6 days before the Passover to their house, I think, because he needs comfort. He needs to draw some strength from his friends. He needs to be in the safety and security of their home. He needs to be with someone that he can rely on, that he can trust. So he comes to their house and they have a dinner. It's probably a small house. Most of the houses were small back then. Everyone is in the same room because that's the way people for most of history have lived together in common. And so I'm imagining that they are in the same room. They're reclining on mats and carpets. It's probably dark and lamps are lit, but they're low lamps and it's dim. And you can feel the presence of other people in the room with you. There's talk going on, murmuring, and there's a sense of comfort and safety being together. Mary opens a jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. Nard is a plant that grows in India. So you can imagine how expensive it must be for this ointment to come from such a far distance. And she rubs it on Jesus' feet. What a personal and intimate act. You know, our feet are so sensitive, and we feel that our feet are sort of private. And when someone touches our feet, it's a very personal thing. She rubs the ointment into his feet and she lets down her hair, which you only do when you're ready to go to bed, and it's very personal also. And she dries his feet with her hair. The house is filled with the fragrance of the perfume. No one can avoid it or pretend it's not happening. Everyone knows what's going on. And Judas interrupts, speaks up. He says, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Isn't that just like a family? I mean, when there's a moment that's precious and intimate, somebody has to speak up, and somebody's going to make an objection, and it's always about money, isn't it? I mean, money is where we displace our feelings. We can't talk about our feelings, but we can talk about money when really we should be talking about our feelings. Mary is intuitive. She knows, she intuits that Jesus is going to die. And so she's doing this act from her very heart. She's in touch with her emotions. And she's allowing herself to be vulnerable in doing this and open to criticism, which she gets, of course. Judas does not want to admit any feelings. He doesn't want to acknowledge that there's any grief going on. So he takes it out of the intimate setting and he tries to make something public of it. Jesus says, "Leave her alone. She bought this perfume so for the day of my burial." He knows. He knows that Mary needs to grieve, and he knows that he needs her ministry. He needs this comfort from her. Brené Brown is a speaker and an author on the subject of vulnerability. And she says that vulnerability is the source of all love and courage and creativity and authenticity. She says, you know, when we love someone, we take a risk. We take a risk of being rejected. When we try something new that we've never done before, we take a risk that we're going to fail. So being vulnerable is the source of all creative things that happen. She says, if we want a deeper, more meaningful spiritual life, then vulnerability is the path. Well, the Gospel of John is written in such a way to bring us into a closer relationship with Jesus. The stories about Jesus ask us to enter into the story and feel what it's like to be there with Jesus. And the purpose of this story in the Gospel of John, I think, is to draw us into that closer relationship with Christ. You know, there are four kinds of prayer that we remember with the acronym ACTS, Acts: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And we're usually pretty good at confession and thanksgiving and supplication, but we're not so comfortable with adoration. Adoration is lifting up the heart and the mind to God. Just being in God's presence and expressing our love for God, our love for Christ, our adoration. One of the prayers of adoration we use is the Gloria in Excelsis, where we say to Jesus, "You alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father." It's a prayer of adoration. A contemplative prayer is prayer of adoration. Centering prayer is a way for us just to rest in the presence of God, like Mary was showing us in this story. In our epistle today, which I made sure we read, Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death." In other words, Paul wants to have that intimate relationship with Christ where he knows Christ for himself. He is in Christ. He understands what Christ has gone through. And Mary, in this story, gives us the example of someone who is willing to share in the sufferings of Christ, to be vulnerable in order to know Christ. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And Holy Week is a chance for us to share in the sufferings of Christ, to walk through the last days and hours of Jesus' life, to be with him, to understand what is vulnerable, and to make ourselves vulnerable to God and to one another. Amen.